Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Another day, another campaign says bye-bye. Rand Paul has suspended his campaign, reportedly for the White House. The big votes this week were cast in Iowa, and the numbers were just not definitive. Hillary edged out a victory that was narrow enough to be worrisome. Can Bernie Sanders keep his socialist balloon in the air? That's the question for him. Senator Ted Cruz won on the GOP side, but in the record turnout, a uniform dismissal of all those governors in the race has suddenly pushed third place Marco Rubio into the spotlight. Is Iowa a fresh start for the Florida senator? What will voters see if they are reintroduced to Marco Rubio? Well, we ask longtime Florida political hand Al Cardenas. He's a senior partner in the international law firm Squire Patton Boggs, former chairman of American Conservative Union, and former chairman of the Florida GOP. He says Iowa was like the old carnival days, he thought. For the top four candidates, everyone's a winner.
I've been following Iowa presidential elections for a long time. It's the first one that I've witnessed where four candidates gave a victory speech. And I've never seen that happen. But I think the media and the public at large took notice. I thought that Senator Rubio's campaign staff and the senator himself did a great job. I've known him all his adult life. He's a talented, perhaps the most talented candidate or politician in the Republican primary. Even exuding his youth, he shows talent and dominion of the facts, and he's intellectually curious. The big question mark's always been the fact that, like President Obama, he didn't really have managerial experience beforehand, and some people question that, but he's certainly a gifted orator and a gifted politician.
So people are going to see two things, that he's articulate, that he exudes confidence, but that he's a pretty young person, and there may be some questions about his experience. Is that fair?
I think so. One of these days in the union leader, there appeared a full-page ad signed by eight House speakers in Florida, Republican House speakers who knew both Governor Bush and then Representative and Speaker Rubio really well, and they all signed this ad supporting Governor Bush, just saying that they've known them both better than probably anyone else in the country, and just felt like Governor Bush was ready to manage the nation on day one and be commander-in-chief.
Now, Al Cardenas, are you arguing for a Bush-Rubio ticket or a Rubio-Bush ticket there?
Boy, I wish that could be the case, John. There's a quirk in our Constitution that says you can indeed be a ticket, but you forfeit your delegates to the convention. And unless it's a clear winner where it doesn't really matter, it's hard to give up all the delegates in Florida. That's the third state in number of delegates.
Okay, but that's a very clever dodge to the question. what do you think? Would Bush benefit from Marco Rubio's youth because sort of a charisma? Because, excuse me, Jeb Bush hasn't done much in this campaign so far. And would Rubio benefit from a vice presidential running mate in Jeb Bush because of his experience?
Well, that's right. The one who ends up winning gets to make the choice, and they'll both see what works best. But this campaign could well go until the very end. There was a feeling amongst many that perhaps Donald Trump could run the table, and of course that what happened in Iowa dispelled that possibility. And it looks to me, based on what's going on, that at some point in time, probably after South Carolina, there's going to be a narrowing of this race to probably four candidates.
Although Trump, decided not to play the ground game in Iowa, and right. Even though he did just do his meetings and his kind of jet in and jet out approach. I mean, he came in second. I mean, he did really well to an amazing Ted Cruz ground game. So I wonder if that's a fair contest, if really we're only going to know about this run-the-table business in New Hampshire.
Well, I just think that he was ahead in Iowa for a significant period of time. There are other states, especially in the South, that are demographically very similar to Iowa. And those who felt he was running the table were those who saw the national polls, where he had a significant lead throughout the country, and looked at Iowa and said, you know, if he can win Iowa, that's going to be hard to stop, because Iowa, frankly, would be one of the most difficult states for him to win. Without a ground game, he did spectacularly well there. And in New Hampshire, he's up by 15, 20 points. That state more fits his demographic style. But he still should be considered the favorite. But I have a strong feeling that this race will tighten up rather than loosen up as the states hold their primaries.
But for the time being, there's two Cubans in the race.
Amazing, right?
Do you believe that, huh?
Boy, I tell you, as a Cuban American, I look at this and say, boy, who would have told me that? I came to this country as a refugee, thankful to have been given a welcome, and little did I know that that the next generation would be fielding two presidential candidates.
Al Cardenas is a senior partner in the international law firm of Squire Patton Boggs. He's former chairman of the American Conservative Union and former chairman of the Florida GOP. Thanks so much, Al.
My pleasure, John.